Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
And welcome to the Mexican edition of the Three Beards EPL podcast. I am your host, Tom Miller, with your vacationing host, Ken Lee. How are we doing, Ken?
I'm great. Back with my Irish tan.
Ken is returning from Mexico as another American heads to Mexico. I don't know how you didn't hear, Ken. I just assumed it was essentially registered on the Richter scale over there. When Landon Donovan moved to Mexico. We will talk about that. We also talked to Tyler. How are we doing, Tyler?
Mucho gusto.
Good job, Tyler. Bueno job. Good job, everybody. And we'll get started here. Ken, we also need to talk about Sanchez and this ridiculous transfer gossip that's going back and forth. I know you were in Mexico and you went swimming with your phone. So you got a little bit behind on the transfer rumors, but I will catch you up and I'll be able to get your thoughts on it. But first, we'll actually start with some matches here. Since the last time we saw each other, Arsenal and Chelsea played. Is that not correct, Tyler?
Ugh, yeah, it is.
Pretty boring match in the Carabao Cup semifinal. I don't really have anything to say about this match. You guys want to say anything about it? I want to get to the big match.
No, it's a 0-0 draw away for Arsenal, so technically we come out looking a little bit better, but it was very, very boring to watch.
Yeah,
the third, or one of three 0-0 draws in a row for Chelsea.
That's not good. We're going to get to some goals, though.
They're a £70 million striker. You think they get some goals out of them.
That is not the headline. That's not how we're going to lead this show. We are going to lead the show with Liverpool versus Manchester City. In, I guess we once again have to christen a new game of the season here, Ken, as Liverpool scores early and scores often in this one and hangs on. Oxlade-Chamberlain, the Ox, Ken. We said it couldn't be done. You couldn't put all the force on the Ox. Scores in the ninth minute.
He said he wanted to play midfield. Now he's playing midfield. He's scoring goals. Setting up goals. From what I saw, I only saw the highlights because there was no way to watch. In Mexico, surprisingly, maybe unsurprisingly, they only watch the Mexican league.
That's not surprising.
There was no way to watch any other league. One of the bartenders told me I could watch it in one of the lounges, but it was 9 TVs and 9 Mexican soccer games going on. Refused
awesome.
To change the channel. So
that is awesome. Good luck.
I still missed the Landon news, but
Yeah, we did catch you up on that. We will definitely get into Landon Donovan in a little while. I think you and I have been holding off our opinions for a while because overall in the American soccer community, he's respected and deserves to be respected for his achievements with the United States national team, but we're going to get into it a little bit more. But anyway, Oxlade-Chamberlain shoots in the ninth minute here, and I have to be honest with you, Ken, I thought that ball should have been saved.
It was like a screaming dribbler, if that makes any sense.
It was a worm burner. I mean, it wasn't an easy save, but I think from that distance, I think Ederson should have got it. It's not like it hit the inside post or something like that. But Ederson lets up a goal here. City goes down 1-0 in the ninth minute, and then from there, Ken, I mean, the Anfield faithful were awesome in this one. I know you said you only saw the highlights, but the fans really carried the game for sure. They were refusing to allow their team to lose to the undefeated Manchester City, and Manchester City, having recently drawn, Ken, take a loss here, but not before scoring in the 40th minute. Karius, near post, beaten by Sané. Another poor goalkeeping play.
It was a rip, though. It was a rip.
It was a rip, but it went through his hand.
It is near post, yeah. I mean, it's
it went through his hand. Like
battle of bad goalkeeping.
Yeah. I don't think Ederson...
This is what happens, though, when you put in two clubs that all they do is score goals.
It was fun.
None of them can defend. So you knew it was going to be a case of how many goals.
Slapstick defending, especially from City in this one. I don't
even
think
Liverpool
Ederson's
on
a bad goalie.
One of the... What was it, the third or the second or the third goal that Manchester City scored, both of them, Aguero kind of like chipped it over to, I forget who scored the goal, but they both had three guys around them, and the ball still ends up in the back of the net. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, gun to gun.
It was going to be a ton of goals, and luckily for both of these teams, on any other day, both of those teams win beat whoever they're playing against.
Yeah, that's right.
They just score goals. That's all they do.
Yeah.
And let as many goals in as they want because they're going to score one more.
Yeah, I mean, Sané scores a smash, which takes him into halftime 1-1. Really set the stage for the second half here. And then Firmino actually gets a ball through, but Stones has the right of way. He has his back and is protecting.
Oh, you think it's a foul?
Protecting the goal. No, I don't think it's a foul. I think John Stones is soft, and he got owned by Roberto Firmino, who just pushed him out of the way, essentially, without fouling him. He just went to the weight room, and John Stones didn't. Stones gets beaten, pushed off the ball in the box, and then Firmino with a nice little chip over Ederson to hit the post.
I've never bought into John Stones. He looks like a 98-pound middle schooler. The fact that he gets hidden by a fantastic midfield and even better striking force of Man City, but he's not... I don't think he's ever been a good defender, honestly.
Yeah.
Good. That's relative. Is he good? Yes. Is he championship side winning good? Absolutely not. And he proves it.
Yeah, I mean, in this one, usually City will make one or two big errors a game, and usually it doesn't really matter. They only allow one goal, and they'll score three or four. I don't think that, like, they have a terrible defense. City James, my friend, always points out the fact they don't allow a lot of goals. But they actually, for the amount of shots they allowed, last I checked, it was about 7.8 shots per game compared to the second lowest, which was closer to 9.5. That's a big difference between shots allowed. And they're still allowing goals at a higher rate than the other teams. But the thing is, of course, they're scoring more. And in this one, they just made... three, possibly four, if you want to count the first goal as an Ederson error, four errors against a team that presses so high and so hard that you really can't get away with it. And they didn't. Firmino with this little chip, terrific finish, and a semi-normal celebration, although I wouldn't have taken my shirt off in the 59th minute.
He always takes his shirt off when he scores goals. I was thinking that when I was watching the highlights, I was like, why does he burn so many yellow cards on taking his shirt off?
Somebody else said that. I think maybe
Brother it's like Joey his it's like it. His yeah. thing. Like, he's gonna miss what every sixth game because he takes his shirt off every time he scores a goal.
Yeah, I do think so. I was reading an article about Coutinho leaving, and the argument was that Coutinho wasn't even the best Brazilian on Liverpool, which is obviously not true. Coutinho was amazing for Liverpool. Hello, dog. And Firmino is an excellent player. I think he really fits in well with the Liverpool attacking system because he assists goals and is willing to do that. He's not really a number nine. He's definitely a false nine and can rotate into the outside spots. But probably the best finish I've seen from him, I think.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, really terrific finish. And I honestly, the strength...
Great
the strength,
pitch awareness.
Mm-hmm, and the strength was very surprising as well. But it really made John Stones look terrible.
I mean, don't forget, he did push down a prepubescent boy in the box. It wasn't like he pushed down one of these hardcore English defenders. I mean, John Stones does not cut it on, I think, half the teams in the Prem.
So... Let me
ask, he's hidden. He's hidden.
Let me ask you this, because this is an important question for us recently converted English United or English national team fans as our U.S. team.
Go England 2018.
Do you think, would you rather have John Stones or Chris Smalling / Phil Jones?
I think all three is a coin flip of who's the worst.
You have to pick one. That's the point of this game.
I would probably honestly pick Chris Smalling, just because he works harder, I think, than the other two. Like, John Stones, he does... One, he doesn't have to work hard because he's hidden on a fantastic squad. Mm-hmm. Phil Jones, he just makes way too many mistakes for the amount
but
of
his facial
plays,
expressions,
I think.
What about his facial expressions?
Well, if we're going with who's the ugliest, then yeah, we put Phil Jones
I'm just
Jones
talking
in.
About his facial expressions, not how ugly his face is. But anyway, yeah, I mean...
I like Chris Smalling out of the three, if I had to choose.
Okay, so... if you were to talk really quickly about the English national defense, I mean, because you got Tim Cahill, who's like kind of over the hill, and he got worked by Iceland in the Euro. I mean, who are you taking out of these guys? Like, I'm not crazy about Smalling or Jones either.
They're all going to make it. That's no question. But it's just, you're kind of flipping a coin of, you're not going to get, yeah, they can all make it. They all won't play every minute, obviously.
Keane, too. Don't forget Keane.
Yeah. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who's going to play defense for England if they're going to pick Joe Hart.
Yeah.
Put the three of us out there.
Yeah. Yeah, Tyler, too. Tyler can get his rec specs on. Absolutely. Get Tyler out there. But anyway, Firmino scores in the 59th minute, pushes John Stones off the ball legally. And then Otamendi, like, juggles the ball off his face. And Salah steals it because Salah's the man. Steals the ball from him, lays it off to Sadio Mane, who over the last 2 months has really shriveled under the shadow of Salah. He passes to Mane. Mane's been shriveling, like I said. And, man, Ken, he made up for it as he blasts the ball top corner from just the very edge of the 18. An unbelievable finish. The Liverpool faithful at Anfield go crazy after that goal. That was only 2 minutes later. It's 3-1 at that point, and it looks like Liverpool's going to coast. And they are continue to pile pressure. City's all out of attack, and with the all out attack, out comes Ederson to clear a ball, Ken, and he messes.
What was he doing, by the way?
I don't know.
I would love to hear the lie that he conjured up to tell what he did. It was like the announcer said, like, he was trying to find a City player upfield when, I'm sure you're not being paid to one-touch pass.
Yeah, especially.
Calm yourself down and get distance. That ball back up the pitch. Like, and he rocketed it about 40 yards.
Especially the distance he was attempting. I think it went in between. I think he saw somebody maybe that was open, or maybe there was a little bit of a miss hit or something like that. But the bottom line is, he just smashed it chest level. He's about 23 or 24, 25 yards out. Salah controls the ball beautifully, considering the speed, and hits a gorgeous lob over his head. I mean, a really, really terrific finish that a guy like Salah, who's so on right now, is just plain not going to miss.
He's going to make it. Yeah, he's not going to miss that.
Which makes the game 4-1. And at that point, I mean, the roof comes off. Oh, there isn't a roof at Anfield, but the sound barrier is broken as they go absolutely berserk, screaming. And at that point, Ken, it looked like you could see Liverpool scoring more because City did not stop attacking.
Yeah, well, they have no choice. And even, by the way, even if they're up 5-0, they don't stop attacking. It's all they have. I think what this game showed the most is what we talked about in the beginning. Pep Guardiola is a one tactic manager.
Yeah,
and I'll be curious,
true.
More curious to see what happens next week after this, because now they have a loss, and now they've noticed and they've recognized that scoring 3 goals every once in a while, someone's going to score 4 on you.
Yeah.
And it was Liverpool. And if you're going to go to Liverpool and play who I think is the informed club in the top 6 or 7, you're going to get smacked like that. I mean, and if it wasn't for Liverpool just turning off the defense, it would have been a lot more embarrassing than it was. I mean, 4-3 is respectable in a game like that, but it should have really been 4 or 5-1.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely could see that. The other side of the coin is Pep Guardiola may be a one-tactic manager, but right now his team has 20 wins, 2 draws, and 1 single loss. So
doesn't matter now, because every club in the league now, all of a sudden, they're back in for the title hunt. Bunch of schmoes. Everyone on United said we're fully committed.
Yeah,
we're fully committed to catching City.
I told you
when
before,
2 weeks ago you
it,
guys said you were
not.
Out.
My heart's in it. My head's not. It's
every player on United, including Mao, said that the title race is over. They lose one game.
Yeah,
and Man United wins a game, and now all of a sudden the title race is back on. Man, you're as bad as the media.
Yeah, I know. I can't help it, man. But I want to give a little bit of credence to the City run. 21 games unbeaten. I mean, basically.
Should we give a little clap?
Yeah, I will give a little clap, Ken. I will, absolutely.
A clap for City.
A clap for City. 22 games unbeaten in the league to start the season. Very impressive, and it took a completely on-form Liverpool, which is the gear we'll now switch to. Liverpool, to me, is looking like a second-place team, right? That's what you would say with this game. However, as we just said, it was 4-1 when we left off. Bernardo Silva scores in the 84th minute, easily. Couple bounce around passes, cuts and scores. No real blame to pass around beyond the fact that he scored easily. And then Gundogan scores in the 91st minute. Ken, this ball got chipped into him in the middle of the box.
It got chipped to Aguero, who then chipped it over to him.
He caught the ball. He had time to chest it down. And there were like five
defenders back in the box. How did he get it through?
He had time to chest it down and score. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Ken, it's the 91st minute. It's 4-3.
Yeah, you're thinking that City's going to go in and win this game 5-4.
Yeah, I was thinking, honestly, if
it was, I didn't watch it, but that's what I would have been thinking because the luck till this point had just been on their side.
I really did think they were going to score again. They had a late attempt. There was one by Otamendi, and there was one by Aguero on a free kick. I believe Aguero was offsides after all, but I don't know how that guy gets on the end of free kicks. They drilled it in, and he put his head on it, diving header, almost scored, Ken. He might have been caught offside. I really thought it was in because it did one of those things where it bounced back and hit the back of the netting and the net rippled. I was like, oh, you got to be bleeping kidding me. But anyway, Liverpool holds on 4-3. They are a genuine threat right now. They haven't been allowing a lot of goals. Klopp has Ox rolling right now. We were making fun of him just last week, Ken, but he is the Ox.
Well, he said that he's living his dream and his wanted midfield role.
Yeah, yeah, and for us newly acquainted England fans, really good to see that. And to see Liverpool right now, they are so dangerous that it takes me back to that point that United shared with Liverpool at the beginning of the season, or I guess it was maybe October, where Liverpool was struggling and letting in a ton of goals, and United went in like Liverpool to Anfield like Liverpool was in form. Now all of a sudden, you needed that 3 points there because Liverpool's going to be really hard to get points off of. They will spill their share, but they could also smack you 3-0.
Exactly. In-form team in the top right now.
Absolutely, the in-form team. A great win for Liverpool. Terrific game overall. We gave a genuine clap for the City start of the season and Pep Guardiola's team. And Ken, I'm not going to say it, but I am going to say it. That's one draw, one win, and one loss in their last three matches. Just saying.
Oh, well, I saw a headline saying, which is crazy, City slump?
City is up. City is currently leading the league by 12 points.
If you consider having a lead of 12 points on the league a slump, then fine.
I will not forget that, City James. I will not forget that for you, buddy. I am aware of the fact that it's 12 points. Ken and I have both acknowledged the fact that United they're out of the title race. But however, they do go in and beat a managerless Stoke City team 3-0, Ken, on Monday. Did you see Antonio Valencia's goal in this one? I know you only got highlights from Mexico, but
I didn't. I just got connected back to the internet like maybe 3 hours ago.
Okay.
On a phone that I can watch.
Dude, so I'll describe it for you. Ninth minute, Antonio Valencia has no left foot. You are aware of that. He has none at all. He does everything he can, just like I do, to not kick the ball with my left foot. I will manipulate my body. I will turn a circle. I will do anything, not kick the ball with my left foot. And Ken, he cuts the ball inside for the first time in his life and smashes the ball top corner with his left foot. And at that point, I was like, okay, this is just, it's going to be United's day. Sure enough, Martial scores a nice rip from about 18, set up by Pogba, and United roll. Romelu Lukaku scores a Lukaku goal later as Lingard plays a ball into his chest, and he holds off two defenders in the box and then just smashes it home in a way that only Lukaku can do against the bottom 10. Anything you want to add to this game just from the – we already discussed the title ramifications of it, but anything about –
Well, the title ramifications of it are now the lead is cut to 12.
Cut to 12.
It's completely touchable now.
Headline, cut to 12.
Yeah, what in the heck? Whatever.
All right, so Where United...
It's amazing, by the way. Well, one loss.
I know.
And other teams around you. When, by the way, just to be clear, there are no teams around Manchester City right now. But when they all win or draw, they get some kind of positive result.
Yeah.
Everything is wide open now.
Yeah.
Everything's wide open.
It's wide open, Ken.
Crazy.
Wide open. And, you know, speaking of teams getting back into the title race, Chelsea, on the other hand, as Tyler alluded to earlier, actually get it taken to them and are lucky to escape Stamford Bridge, their own home, with a 0-0 draw to Leicester City, as Leicester City really was on top of this game, and Chelsea was real flat in this one, Ken.
Before we finish anything, like I said, watch the highlights of all the in-games.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to give Tyler Alfeld the chance to explain / defend himself, because he's so quick to bring up teams that go up a man and cannot finish with a win.
That's true.
So, Tyler?
I just heard Tyler's mic turn on.
Explain yourself. You had 22 minutes, and you couldn't do anything.
He's gone.
No, yes.
At home, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out.
It's a very glass house.
There is no defense. I was watching this game live. When I saw that happen, I assumed that was it. I assumed that we would get one goal in, call it a day, and that's how things would end, and we just couldn't capitalize. There is no defense for that, and I can't offer you one.
That tone you just gave, Tyler, was very so similar to Conte's tone after the game.
The fans embody
you.
The manager.
Yes, I applaud you for your feelings, sir. As Chelsea goes down, Leicester City gets a dumb second yellow card from Chilwell.
What a terrible foul, by the way, that was.
I mean, he slides, he goes over top of the ball, and the announcer, I don't know if you said you listened to the highlights.
I heard the announcer say that.
Oh,
it was
that's
like
harsh
kind of,
for me. I'm like,
it's harsh,
what are you
yeah.
talking about? That? It's not harsh.
The studs are kind of up, and the guy has his back to him.
And you already have a yellow card, and you are playing well in this game. Like,
definitely made it hard to leave with a draw.
Keep your red nose and your giant shoes at the door, you clown. Like, that was terrible, man. Like, if I'm Leicester City, I'm so let down by that, because they still had some opportunities later. Morata picks up a yellow in this one, and that's about all that Rusty does, as he continues to struggle. Hazard actually is subbed in this one, which is a surprise. But Chelsea go on to take another draw here, and are in real danger of falling. I mean, they actually did fall into fourth, but real danger of falling. I mean, this top six, it can change in a moment. And the way Liverpool's playing, and Manchester United, they look like they want to grit it out for second or third. Liverpool looks like they want to go in all guns blazing the only way they know how for second or third. And Chelsea right now looks pretty limp. They might be the team in quote-unquote crisis getting the baton here. From the top four.
Yeah.
As they take a draw here, Tyler, anything else you want to add? I don't want to have to hear your broken voice again. But anything positive or anything we can just kind of like get you back up here?
There really isn't anything positive to say about it.
Okay, that's it for Tyler. Thank you, Tyler. I appreciate it. we'll get your take again when we get to the to another game. But Tottenham Hotspur rolls here 4-0 over Everton. They smashed the resurgent Everton here. Son with a nice goal to start it, and then Harry Kane with two goals scored from about 4 feet away. Christian Eriksen smashes a ball in, and the story here, Ken, is that Harry Kane breaks another Tottenham record, the Premier League record for goals from Teddy Sheringham, and just keeps on rolling.
He's on fire.
98
Which is why
goals.
They better win some silverware soon, because he will not stick around.
98 goals. Hey, Tyler, can you look up how many goals the all-time Tottenham Hotspurs goals record is? Don't look up the Premier League record. Look up the English top flight record, because after the game, Pochettino said the good news is that the next record is far away, and I actually forgot to write it down. But Harry Kane runs rampant here. Also, for what it's worth, Harry Kane named in the EA Sports the top three strikers in EA Sports, Harry Kane was named as the best number 9, officially overtaking Luis Suarez. And to me, Ken, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but I believe that that's a trend that will continue as these players replace the top tiers of the Spanish players. The Spanish players from Barcelona and Real Madrid used to dominate this top list. It's not a ton of prestige behind it, but it mixes in fans and writers at about 40% fans, 60% writers. And you have to say that it's absolutely deserved. Harry Kane becoming the best number 9 in the world and officially getting some recognition for it, and more to come, I'm sure.
That's big for England.
Big for our England, Ken. And big for Tottenham, as they are now 3 points behind Chelsea, but tied on goal differential, closing in fast on Chelsea. Chelsea really needs to figure it out. But Tottenham has a really tough schedule coming up here, Ken. This will definitely define their season to see whether or not they can get in a position they need to be. They have Southampton away, then they have Manchester United at home, Liverpool away, and Arsenal at home. Then they play Juventus. Then they play Crystal Palace. I mean, that's a really, really tough stretch right there.
Yeah.
You're going to find out if Tottenham is made for, A, the Champions League, and, B, the top four. It's a really tough stretch
up. They've proven themselves to be very consistent throughout a season. So I wouldn't be too concerned if I'm a Tottenham fan. Mm-hmm. Honestly, what I'd be most concerned about is after this season, in the summer, if they don't win any silverware, which I don't really know if they have a chance to win any silverware, honestly. People have to start asking themselves, how long is Harry Kane going to stick around at a club that may have already reached their potential?
Especially if Real Madrid is really playing poorly in the league, and a lot of what their papers are saying is they just haven't invested. Well, they hadn't need to invest. But right now, Benzema looks like he's on his way out, and that's a spot for Harry Kane. We've already talked about it. Dr. Pete acknowledged it, that Harry Kane probably is not long for Tottenham, especially if they can't get any trophies. Even just taking the FA Cup would be really, really big for them. But they have tough schedule. Yeah, they have a tough schedule. And if they can just sneak past Juventus, maybe that would be enough too. But they still would have to sign him. In this game, rolling on all cylinders, they get a nice 4-0 win. We move next to a team that is not rolling on all cylinders, Ken. It's been tough over the last few weeks for Arsenal. It gets worse as Arsenal scores first against Bournemouth at Bournemouth. Bellerin sneaks one past the goalkeeper. Well, he smashes it past and the ball, as the announcer said, apologetically rolls into the net. Gets a goal for Bellerin. And then from there, Ken, from minute 70 to 74, Bournemouth scores twice on laps from Petr Cech. That sends this game down 2-1. Yeah, both times lapses from.
He acknowledged it was his fault, but there's a bigger issue.
2-1.
It's a bigger issue than Cech. I mean, Cech should be able to, you know, every so often make the mistake or two. But when you have the chances and you're just not putting them away, that's the issue, and that's always been the Achilles heel of Arsenal. I think right now the only saving grace for Arsenal fans is, I really do believe that Wenger is going to walk away in the summer, and until he does, we don't really have anything positive to look at, I don't think, right now. I mean, we got knocked out of our baby. You know, we don't even have the FA Cup anymore. We're not going to win the league. Right now, we're closer to finishing in seventh than staying in sixth, or even moving up to fifth. I mean, we're like, 5 points away from fifth, 8 away from fourth. It's unbelievable. Wenger's left. He's going to leave us in disarray, and I'm just disappointed in him. It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
If I was part of the board, I'd fire him right now. I think all this Sanchez talk and all this Theo Walcott talk of going away and bringing some couple players in, we need to focus all attention on, let's just fire Wenger right now. He's done nothing for us. He doesn't even deserve to be able to walk away with any kind of dignity.
Especially the lack of trophies over the last few years. I hear Tyler cutting in here. I hear Tyler's mic on. Tyler, you got something to say?
I just, talking about transfers and people coming in and out, one of the rumors that I read that I thought was really interesting is the idea that Dortmund wants Giroud for Aubameyang, and I was curious what your guys' take was on that, because I think that would be a really interesting trade.
It's the same any other team, I would just laugh it off as media hype, but it's Arsenal, and if anything dumb is going to happen, it's going to be with Arsenal, and Arsene Wenger will think that potential is better than what we already have. Like, it's the same thing with this Mkhitaryan thing. If we're going to sell Sanchez to Manchester United, we're demanding Mkhitaryan. I'm pretty sure Man United would give us Mkhitaryan for nothing.
That is the only hold up in the Manchester United Sanchez deal, as that story flopped on its head while you were in Mexico, Ken. City pulls out, as I believe what happened was, I mean, at least it's what's being reported, is that Sanchez's agent changed their demand, said, oh, wait a minute. We actually want more money because Manchester United's in now, too. And City said, no, we had an agreement, and you guys are going back on that. And City
I read that article. Poor taste on and that's why I fully believe that
agents are trash.
They are, but I still believe that, you know, and I don't care. No, I just think that Sanchez is for the money.
Yeah, and
I don't know if Sanchez cares about winning titles. I think he's going to go and win a title wherever he goes because the team he goes to is going to be better. Maybe not quality-wise better than Arsenal, but they're going to be managed better than Arsenal. That's for damn sure. And that's what wins titles. So he'll get his title for sure. But when you have, like, yeah, I read the article about the manager and the demanding more after a deal's already been done. That's poor business to me. But
yeah, I agree.
Here nor there. It doesn't matter. What needs to happen is...
City needed him. We're going to play for City.
It doesn't matter. The bigger problem that I have as an Arsenal fan right now is all of this tomfoolery with the transfers, it all stems from Wenger. One, why are we allowing our best players' contracts to even get into a final year? Two, why are we even entertaining the idea of selling said best player for nothing in January when we put our heels in the sand in the summer?
Keep the heels in the sand.
Keep them till the summer. Get us to fourth. And then you can go for free. Do what you want. But this is a Wenger problem. It's a long list of things of why Wenger needs to go. No other team has this issue consistently where their best players have their contracts run to nothing.
Yeah, I would actually 1,000% agree to that because, I mean, normally if a player at one of these other clubs gets down to 1 year, they're sold. You know,
sell them in the summer, or don't. And deal with the consequences of it. You're the one who let it get to a year.
Yeah,
let it get. Sell them off, or you have two choices when a contract gets to a year. And you have to understand that it is a direct correlation to what you've done as a manager and a club. You've allowed this to happen, so you have two choices: sell for as much as you can get them for, or meet the player's demands. Arsenal doesn't want to do either. They think that we're some hot commodity luxury resort place that all these players are dreaming to go to, and they'll actually take less money when their current contract expires to stay. You need trophies, you need consistent cup runs, and you need a manager that demands that type of loyalty in a loyalist world that we live in, which is world football. There's none. You are not doing justice to the club nor the fans. And as a fan, I can't handle watching another season of Arsenal with Wenger at the helm. I can't do it. But I'm ending the rant now because I'm getting too heated up about it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that can be done because he's got 2 years left or a year and a half left now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to him basically, because I'd be really shocked. I'd write a thank you letter if they fire him in the summer.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of Wenger out stuff. I won't make you suffer anymore through it. I'll just say that Arsenal right now, as you alluded to, 5 points from fifth place and 5 points from seventh place. And probably most telling,
they're looking more like a seventh place.
Off the pace of the fifth place Tottenham team in goals alone by a 14-point differential, as they only have 11 goal differential. They have 6 losses on the season and only 11 wins. Arsenal clearly struggling, but we will move past them. We'll get a little bit into the Sanchez transfer just straight up. Ken, just to say that, I mean, without the Arsenal side of it, I'll give you the Manchester United side, which is that I like the idea of Sanchez. I'm a little worried about his personality. I know that he's a guy that can win matches on his own, but is he a guy that can, you know, coexist in a club? He's clearly had problems at Arsenal, and you could say it's because Arsenal hasn't had a lot of success, but he's a great player, and for United to draw in a player of his stature obviously can only make you better, especially when your second striker right now is Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and he's out for a month. He's 36 years old.
Well,
and he looks very slow. So if United can pull this off, especially transferring out Mkhitaryan, I mean...
Yeah, what in the hell? Why is that the stumbling block? Why do I want a struggling Mkhitaryan? Why am I jumping at the chance? And I will... Oh, hey, if you give us Mkhitaryan, fine. There's not even an argument. He is terrible right now. And maybe that's because of Mal. Maybe. But I am not interested in the potential of a 28-year-old. Especially when I have to sign the potential of a 28-year-old and getting rid of the definite, what I know, 29-year-old.
Yeah, I mean,
it's terrible. It's Arsenal buffoonery, it would never happen with any other club.
If I'm an Arsenal fan, and I see that they're waiting to get Mkhitaryan, Ken, I think the biggest news on that is that is who they're planning on replacing Sanchez with. Exactly what you just alluded to. You have to be kidding me. You're not going to go for Mahrez. You're not going to go for Thomas Lamar. You're not going to go for anyone else. You're going to settle on a guy who has shown that he can't handle the rigors of the Prem?
Well, there's some articles talking about, what was it, Aubameyang? He's asked for a transfer to come to Arsenal. But now, I don't see Arsenal
forward.
He's not a replacement for Sanchez, and that's what they're going for. Yeah, where are we going to play him?
Nowhere. I think.
And he's got a bad attitude. And as long as Wenger's here, nobody that doesn't mesh well with Wenger is ever coming. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised if Wenger's being so quick to allow Sanchez to leave in the summer, just because he's had his old man feelings hurt by him, because they rub each other the wrong way. Obviously, I mean, there's too many articles that say that there's bust ups for there not to be at least one of them.
Yeah, well, I'll end the
it's frustrating.
The Sanchez story by just saying that his super agent, as they call him, Mino Raiola, is the one who brokered the Pogba deal, the Mkhitaryan deal, I believe the Lukaku deal.
Yeah.
So all these deals with Manchester United. And he comes out and says, Manchester United is not going to sign Alexis Sanchez unless Mkhitaryan agrees to join Arsenal. Mkhitaryan has not decided yet. He's going to do what's best for him. He's got 2.5 years left on his contract, so it's his decision. Sanchez is part of the Mkhitaryan deal, not the other way around. What are you talking about?
What is that? And why on earth can Mkhitaryan demand more wages? You're on a downfall. You don't get to demand more money.
I'm confused, Ken, because to me that means that Arsenal has accepted an offer for Sanchez.
That's crazy.
I know this is agent talk, because basically what he's trying to flip it around and be like, no, what happened was Arsenal wants to buy Mkhitaryan, and they are offering Sanchez in exchange. I don't think so. I think Manchester United was like, hey, we want to buy Sanchez, and Arsenal's like, oh, okay, we want 35. And then Manchester United said, we'll give you 34 and Mkhitaryan.
Yeah, 34 and Mkhitaryan. Exactly.
And you know what? I said
it was probably before, more like, oh, you want 35? We'll give you 50 if you take Mkhitaryan.
Yeah, I don't think that is the way that this whole thing's going to go down. But the way I follow transfer sagas, I sent this to Dr. Pete when he was asking questions about it. And I sent it to Tyler as well, actually, in our group chat that you didn't see because you went swimming with your phone. But the odds got slashed on Manchester United Sanchez joining Manchester United in the span of a few hours. Basically, it went from Man City being 4-9 against to Manchester City being 7-4 and Manchester United being 4-9. So, I mean, that's how you can follow these things. For instance, Liverpool's 10-1, Barcelona's 25-1. That's how, if you really want to see the validity of a story, type into Google, what are the odds, transfer odds on this player? And they will give you the odds, because you can bet on anything.
Well, and if you're Man United, why wouldn't you take Arsenal's best player? The last time you did it, you won a title the next season.
Absolutely. I will.
And again, this is another issue that only Arsenal will allow. And then I almost have to jump off this podcast if we can't get off the topic of Arsenal.
We're done. We're moving to Leonard Diamond.
Why
are
we allowing our best players not only play out their contract, but then we even entertain the idea of allowing them to go to a Premier League rival for a couple bucks?
Yeah, I mean,
get out of here.
My
or
biggest
sell
problem,
him last summer
yep,
to Juventus.
That's my biggest
please.
Problem. Sell him in the summer at even a cut rate deal to your
to a
someone
different
in another league,
country.
Or don't sell him. We said this before. Or don't sell him. And now you're caught in this weird place. But all right, Ken, we're done with Arsenal for the day. We are going to move on to something
we're,
a little.
Tom.
Oh yeah, yes, Tyler.
Just before you
here
leave,
go,
one other transfer rumor I'm personally excited about is the idea that Andy Carroll is going to come to Chelsea.
Well, you would be excited. That's hilarious. I'm sure West Ham would give you that ponytail.
Oh,
but
man.
They're going to get 20 for him. They're going to get 20.
They're going to get 20. It's not close to his 35 that he went to Liverpool for, but
if you can recoup 20 million. For an Andy Carroll to go to Chelsea, a team that should be fighting for a championship every single season, and Conte is holding his hat on the signing of the ponytail himself, Andy Carroll, things have really, really taken a downshift here at Chelsea.
Yeah, I would completely agree. And
thank you, Tyler, though, for brightening my spirits with being excited about Andy Carroll to Chelsea. What does that say about
Morata? I think he's gonna add depth.
Well,
I can see him playing alongside.
You better
Morata.
Hope that that's all they're bringing him in for is depth. You're not bringing him in to take over Morata's spot.
Yeah, to challenge Morata. Oh,
here we go.
Boy.
I love it, dude. I love it, Tyler. Thank you. Usually, you really just take the jam out of my donut, but tonight you have really overfilled it with the joy you have of the potential. Of an Andy Carroll permanent deal to Chelsea.
You know, I'm surprised. I actually think that Chicharito would have been a better fit there for Chelsea. I mean, he's not good in the run of play. He's actually miserable in the run of play. But at least he could score, you know, like come on and score that goal that they need when they're tied 0-0.
Who would have thought Mkhitaryan would sound like a good transfer deal?
Yeah.
When you got Chelsea thinking that Andy Carroll's the best thing going.
Well, before we move on to the Landon Donovan news, to just give our take on it, Tyler has updated me here on the Tottenham scoring record. Currently, I have the club, his club total, Tottenham Hotspur's Harry Kane's club total of 112 goals. Is that right, Tyler? You might have to look this up because he's got international goals here too. Damn it!
Forget Sorry, it. Man.
Forget it. The record for goals by
he don't blame him. He's so excited about Andy Carroll. He can't possibly Google something properly right
no,
now.
No, he got it right. I actually went back. Jimmy Graves is the all-time goal, the club scoring record for Tottenham with 266 goals in 380 appearances. I was looking also for to see where Harry Kane is on that list. That you gave me the all comps record, which is fine, and I was trying to look up Harry Kane's all comps, but. I couldn't find it, wompity womp. So I think Harry Kane is more than 100 behind. I know that, but that's as far as I'll go. In other news, Ken, as we've alluded to several times. All right, Ken. So we've purposely held off on the Landon Donovan conversation for a long time because he's well-respected, as he should be, in the United States community for the amount of goals that he scored, second most all-time. Scored some big goals, qualified every time for every World Cup that he played in, scored some huge goals. Never forget the 2002 World Cup run by the United States on the back of him. And you have to say that overall, when you just look at his career from the United States perspective, you would say it was a complete success. Then, on the other hand, the idea that he would stay in the MLS for his entire career, despite a couple very successful loan moves, one especially to Everton where it really looked like he was going to go over and test himself, staying in the MLS, staying comfortable, playing...
His words, by the way, not yours.
Yeah, staying comfortable and not challenging himself, especially when you are the head of U.S. soccer, essentially. You are what all the kids are looking towards. When you're that guy and you're just saying, no, you know what, you don't have to go test yourself. I believe that he is a huge part of what left that generation that just came back to the MLS and did not qualify. You know my feelings on it. We don't need to get into that part of it. But I believe that Landon Donovan refusing to essentially go and challenge himself further was a big reason why he does not have my respect as a player beyond what he's done, which is different. It's kind of a, you know, it's a weird line to walk on. But it's weird that he's a player that we scoff at, Ken. It's weird to me that we would scoff at him. And one of those reasons is because, for instance, he took a year off of soccer when he was like 30 years old because it was too hard. You know, when
the... it wasn't to me. I don't cut you off, but him taking the time off, you're right, it was weird to me. That's a good word. But I wasn't exactly upset about that. I wanted him to go away forever when he turned 30 because of his mentality as a club player. And to your point, I will give him all the respect he deserves as an international player for the United States. He was, let's say, a blessing to us. He came in, he kind of showed us, he played very well for us as a national team. My issue comes to him with the year off that he demanded his spot back, and he almost assumed that it would just be waiting there for him. When he has done nothing in his club professional career to demand a spot like that. You stayed where you are. And I have no problem with MLS, and that's where me and you differ.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a big problem with you staying in the MLS when you use your own words out of your mouth in a national press conference to say, I'm more comfortable in LA, I'm going to go back home and be comfortable. When the club, the manager, and the fans of Everton wanted you, where you could have strictly tested yourself and come back, I would have respected you for life. Now, we move into the Mexico move. You can go first, but I would imagine that there is a huge boat filled with cash, and that is the only reason that Mr. Comfort himself, Landy Cake, will come back.
Yes, to play. Mr. Comfort himself goes to Mexico, unretires for the second time.
Second time, I guess.
A guy who took off soccer because it was too difficult when the MLS only plays for like 6 or 7 months, especially during the time periods where he was playing. I mean, they've expanded, so they play more games now. But the time that, you know, most of his games were, it was, the season was basically
20 some odd games.
Yeah. And to say, I mean, you can't clearly like soccer that much if you need time off, especially when you're living in LA. You're not doing a ton of, like, it's not like the fans beat down on you, the media beats down on you. Hardly anybody knows who you are.
No, in the U.S., everyone loved you, except for probably the two of us.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I did my best just because, you know, you go over to Everton and I get excited again and be like, oh man, this is it. He's finally going to go over there.
And he played really well.
He played very well at Everton. But then to come in and then retire to essentially, in my mind, to not make the World Cup roster because the coach didn't think you had the drive at the age of 32, and then to retire, come back for like a month because all of a sudden he's like, oh yeah, like my team needs me for the playoffs. Well, then maybe you shouldn't have retired, for one thing. And then this thing where you're just like, it's a really interesting project. I'm really interested. Really feeling the drive again. Well, maybe you should have felt the drive when you were 30 years old. Or maybe when you were 20.
You're 35 now.
Or maybe when you were 20. Or like 25 and felt the drive to move and play well in Europe. Or maybe even fail at a team in Europe. You know?
Yeah, I mean, is the drive for this Mexican team to bring in a U.S. base? Because that's about all that they're going to get to gain from him
and
coming back.
And the Mexicans hate Landon Donovan.
Well, they gave him a rock star welcome.
That's what I heard. But they're not going to do it at away stadiums, I can tell you that much. I mean, the Mexican fan base, he's like numero uno on throwing bags of piss at somebody. Like, they do that. they hated him when they play against him. You know, he's Rafa Márquez to us. You know, that's just the way it is. It's a good rivalry. It's the weirdest thing in the world that he would go someplace like that. It's the weirdest thing in the world.
It's for the money. It's for the money. And I just find it hard to fully respect a man who has gotten to the place he's gotten to in his professional life where other teams from around the world have noticed you and thought enough of you to bring you over, not only bring you over to have a discussion or a little talk about something, give you a jersey, put your name on it, and then you pretty much scoff at the idea and say, I'm really terrified to do something outside of my comfort zone. I'm going to go back home, I think.
Yeah, especially...
Are you a child? Do you need your mom around you all the time? Do you need someone to hold your hand? I never understood Landon Donovan. I'm never going to understand Landon Donovan. To me, there is only one great American player that's going to ever be considered the best player to me, and that is, you know it, Tommy.
The deuce is loose,
the
baby!
The deuce.
Yep.
The deuce.
Clint Dempsey obviously handles
out of his comfort level. Out of his comfort level, smashes MLS, yep. Goes over and smashes for Fulham.
On a team that was not
widely,
good.
Widely misutilized at Tottenham. I won't blame that little stint on him. But hey, he still went, knowing he's going to have to fight for a place and go to a club that had no backing for him at all. Good move on you. Yeah. And then, you come back to the MLS to make a boatload of cash. Good for you.
Yep.
Good for you. But not good for you, Landon Donovan. Never. Never good for you.
Yeah, and another thing to point
out. I'd be surprised how long this lasts, honestly. Because right when the going gets rough, I'll guarantee you he quits.
Yeah. Just really, really disappointing to have, you know, if you talk to fans from around the world and you talk about American soccer, it's Landon Donovan they talk about. Like, that's...
Well, because on the national level, I mean, if you only know Landon Donovan from with a U.S. national jersey on,
then
he's great. Mm-hmm. He's fantastic. I've never felt more like a proud American soccer fan that, except for when Clint Dempsey scored that goal really, really quickly. A couple World Cups ago. But he's given U.S. soccer fans the most American feeling ever while watching him play for the U.S. national team in World Cups. I will give that to him. He's earned all of that. But at a club level, he's completely unprofessional. Completely unprofessional. And then he comes back and just sits on his little throne that he's made for himself and just thinks that people are going to bow down to him. And it's just not happening. I hope he gets what he wants in Mexico. I know he's gotten a lot of money because he wouldn't have gone there for nothing. But
yeah, really, really, just a disappointing
boo to you, Landon
player.
Boo to you.
I mean, it's just we covered it. So we're looking ahead to next week's games here. We are starting to get back into that busy January period where you start to get. FA Cup matches a little later, and then February, of course, brings forth the Champions League and Europa League again. But this weekend, we have a Saturday match for Manchester United at Burnley. Hopefully they can continue. Chelsea plays at Brighton. They need a pick-me-up game. This could be that. Arsenal, Ken, plays Crystal Palace. It's a derby match, man, and it's at Arsenal. They have to win this game. They have to.
We need to win. We need it. I need it.
City is going to smash Newcastle to little tiny bits, as they are probably pretty angry.
No, they're in a slump.
Yeah, they're in a slump.
They're in a slump, and the title race is wide open.
Oh, boy. Yep. Tottenham plays at Southampton as the only game on Sunday, and Liverpool looks to continue their smashing run, playing a poor Swansea City team that is definitely going to get relegated. The last thing I'll add, I did a little bit of math. And Harry Kane, Ken, sits on 143 goals in all comps compared to the club record, which is 266. I did it. Thank you, Tyler, for your help. I appreciate it.
Oh, hey, one more thing just to so I can go to bed with zero jam in my donut. I've just refreshed my ESPN app, and the top news story for English Premier League is watch Alexis Sanchez's best moments at Arsenal. He must have packed his bag and he's going somewhere. And I'm sure the deal was not anything good for me.
Ken,
good night, gentlemen.
Ken, I will
see you never.
I will do everything in my power to try and make sure that Mkhitaryan does not go the other way. Tyler, do you have anything to add, buddy?
I'm just hoping that next Wednesday we can finally put to rest the pod bet for the next Arsenal-Chelsea game.
I'll lose my mind if Sanchez goes to Man United. It will be the one thing that really pisses me off.
The odds are cut hard.
I can't even fathom it. Like,
and on top of that, I don't know what to do, Ken. I don't know how to pick you up because
and we Sanchez get Mkhitaryan in the deal. Like, what is happening?
Sanchez could go to Arsenal. You might get Mkhitaryan, and then you might lose to Chelsea next and lose on Wednesday. And
we have to think about ourselves. We have to think. Can we even sell Theo Walcott to Everton now?
Oh, that's right.
We have to keep him. Yeah. We have to keep him now almost because of the predicament that Wenger has put us in. Ken.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to go kill myself now. And
no,
you guys enjoy your week.
All right, guys. Well, we'll try to pick Ken up and get him back on his 2 feet. And I hope everybody has an awesome week. As always, we will talk to you soon. And Bobby Firmino. And we sold Coutinho. Salah. Oh, money, money. Roberto Firmino. And we sold Coutinho. But we got Salah.